Scott Phillips, and I am the pastor of Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road. And on Monday nights for now 15 weeks, I have been teaching a Bible study that is an overview of the scripture. We start in the book of Genesis. We will end in the book of Revelations. If I were to estimate, it will end up being around 24 weeks. 24 lessons, studying Genesis through Revelation. And the past 2 weeks, we have been in the New Testament. After spending 12 weeks in the Old Testament, we will probably spend about 12 weeks in the New Testament. And the past 2 weeks have been about Jesus. Different parts, different degrees of Jesus. And today, this will be our third lesson, and we are going to talk about Jesus again, because Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the source. Jesus is the validation. Jesus is the New Testament. And so it requires more than one video. And so with that in mind, the first week we talked about Jesus is the incarnate God, God manifested in the flesh. And last week, the second video on Jesus, we just expanded the fact that Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. And today we're going to talk about the teaching of Jesus. He spent 3.5 years walking amongst his people. You like that word, amongst? He walked among the Jews. He chose 12 disciples specifically. He called all men to be a disciple. However, he specifically called at least 12 that we know of. We know that he called others, but they were not among the 12. The 12 were, Jesus chose to spend 3.5 years of his ministry with these hand-chosen men who would later become apostles. And we'll talk about them probably next week. So Jesus, the teaching ministry of Jesus and its importance to a New Testament believer cannot be overemphasized. Jesus taught how to live a life that honors God and is a witness of God to the world we live in. And what he taught were principles that had long been forgotten by the Jews, and many of them were a new commandment. They were an unfolding of the original commandments. And so I think it's important for us as believers to know the teachings of Jesus. You know, John said that it was impossible that everything Jesus said and done to be written down, because if it all would have been written down, that all of the earth could not hold the books that could have been written. So what that means is what is written, what we have preserved, what is in your Bible is of the highest of importance. What the Lord saw fit to have recorded. In fact, in the Synoptic Gospels, the three Gospels that in many cases tell the same story and add additional bits of information, all three of them together give a kind of a three-dimensional view of the specific teaching of Jesus. And of course, John is not a Synoptic. He's not in parallel with the three. In fact, adds another dimension in that he tells other stories that I believe God saw could not be left out, and used John to write them 4 and 5 decades after the other three. So when we look at Jesus, it would be a great error to not focus on the things that are written about what Jesus actually said. Now, we know Jesus did not write anything that has survive to this day. We do not find anywhere where Jesus wrote anything except when he bowed down and wrote in the sand concerning the woman that was caught in adultery. He wrote in the sand, and as he wrote in the sand, one by one, the religious leaders that threw this woman that had been caught in adultery at his feet, asking what he would say in response to this woman's infidelity, Jesus essentially wrote until all of her accusers had left. And when they had all left and dropped their stone, each one walking away for whatever their personal reason was, Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's the only thing we know Jesus wrote, and we don't know what he wrote. We just know that he did. So Jesus taught many things. I think oftentimes when I am talking to someone that is a new believer or a believer that is struggling with the effects of challenges in their life, I will direct their reading and their study and their life to read, reflect, and seek to live out the principles Jesus taught that are found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. No doubt these are also written in the book of Luke. Often it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it is important for each of us to study and analyze what Jesus has said and live our life based upon those words of eternal wisdom. Because Jesus said, in relation to those things he taught, he said, "The fool hears my word and does not obey, and their life is destroyed by the storm. But the wise are those that hear and obey my word, and their life is preserved and protected from the storm." The storm is coming, but Jesus in the Word of God has given us timeless principles, timeless truths that if we will live those words out, be a hearer and a doer, it will bring about to us the blessing of the wise blessing, the blessing of wisdom by hearing and obeying the words of Jesus. For example, most of what Jesus dealt with in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, I encourage you, if you have not read it recently, this week, whether in your drive and commute, pull it up on your phone. I use the Bible app. It'll read it to you, Matthew 5 through 7. If you read and listen to Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus is confronting our natural responses, and he gives us a response that will reflect him in our lives. Jesus says things like, "If someone smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone curses you, bless them. If someone says bad things about you, pray for them. If someone does you wrong, bless them." Jesus goes through and he points out that what we would normally do as a natural response, our natural response, if someone curses us, we curse them back. If someone does us wrong, we try to get back. If someone curses us, if someone does us wrong, for instance, Jesus said, said, "If someone asks you to go a mile, go the second mile." Now, we live in a culture that when someone asks us to do something, our response would be, "Not my job." But Jesus says, "Do what they ask and go the second mile." All of these things are contradictory to our nature. They are in direct opposition to what we naturally would do as a response to things that are done to us and things that are asked of us. Jesus asked us to be better, to do better, to speak better, and not to allow the actions, attitudes, and activities of others to define us, because we are called to live on a higher level. I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament. The servant of Abraham is sent to find a wife for Isaac. And he prays and says, Lord, prosper my journey. Help me to find a wife for my master's son. Let it be that the lady that I ask, the woman that I ask for a cup of water, when I ask her for a cup of water, let her ask me to drink my water, bring me water, and then water my camels also. And so immediately, just as soon as he prays that prayer, a young woman comes out and he says, can't you give me something to drink? And she says, here's something to drink. Sit down while I water your camels. Now, a camel can drink 35 to 70 gallons, one thirsty camel. He had 10 camels. So that's 350 to 500 gallons that 10 camels can drink. So for her to water the camels, she had to, there was a well. So she had to lower a vessel, raise a vessel, take it and pour it in the water trough. Lower a vessel, raise a vessel, pour it in the water trough. Lower a vessel, raise a vessel, pour it in the water trough. And these are not immediately next to each other, right? So if it's a 2-gallon vessel, if it's 350 gallons, the low number, that would be 175 lowering and raising and pouring, lowering, raising, and pouring. And the thing is, she no doubt felt an impulse inside of her to do more than what she was asked to do. In fact, here's the miracle, is that she not just responded to her request, but she saw a need that was not pointed out. But she qualified herself to be married into covenant and to live the rest of her life with laughter. Isaac, that's what his name means, laughter. She qualified herself to be married into covenant and to be married to laughter and to have the children of the promise, because she was willing to do what she was asked, and she was willing to do 175 times more watering than she was asked to do. A lot of work. I've estimated that could have taken anywhere from an hour to 3 hours for her to water those 10 camels. And so Jesus in his teaching reflects that if you want to be blessed, you must be willing not just to do what you're asked to do, but you're able to identify what needs to be done and to do it. And if you do it, Jesus calls you wise and you will survive the storm. Jesus in his teachings, he goes through and he lays out for us an ethic, a life to live by a certain value. A value that should identify Christianity, but sadly, Christianity has been dumbed down to simply symbols and bumper stickers and a club that we're in. Wear a cross around your neck, wear a band around your wrist, maybe wear a t-shirt and go somewhere once or twice a week. But Christianity, which I think obviously if you're a believer, you will go to church. But going to church does not negate our desperate need and our high calling to live according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that means if someone slaps you, you don't slap them back. You turn the other cheek. That if someone curses you, you don't curse them back. You bless them. If someone does you wrong, you pray for them and don't look for a way to get back. If someone asks of you something that's not your job, you don't just do what they ask, but you go the second mile. And throughout the teaching and ministry of Jesus, Jesus told many hard sayings and asked his followers to do some very difficult things. But we understand that in the New Testament, it was fulfilled when we were given through Jesus Christ the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have access to a spiritual empowerment that was unavailable to David and to Abraham, to Moses, to Isaiah, to Ezekiel. The Old Testament saints were blessed people who had an incredible experience with God and demonstrated an amazing faith in God. But what we have available to us was not available to them. And they did amazing things through the grace of God without the gospel. However, God has asked us to do things, and they are difficult things, but we are able to do those things because of the grace of God. The grace of God is not simply a blank check of forgiveness so that you don't have to worry about what you say and do. Grace is an empowerment to do things that are beyond our natural capability and capacity. I cannot bless those that curse me, but by the grace of God, the empowerment of the Spirit of God. I cannot go the second mile except by the grace of God in the Holy Spirit empowerment. And so Jesus gives us a life ethic to live, a road of righteousness that we fulfill through faith by the grace of God. And so we live out the principles Jesus gives us in his ministry by the grace of God. And we do that by faith. Recently, I had a wonderful opportunity. I don't think I've shared this yet. It happened recently. But I had a wonderful opportunity to spend some time with a senior minister, pastor in my life. And we went fishing. And while we were in that coming and going, he drove up in some mud. And when he realized where he was, he stopped. He said, "Wait a minute, I know what I need to do." And in that pause, he hit the four-wheel drive button, and you could feel the truck shift. You felt it. You heard it. And then he applied the gas, and he just pulled right out. And when that happened, being a pastor and a preacher, I had a bookmark go in my mind, and I thought, I'm going to use that. And I thought about the application of that in our life as a believer is that there are times when we are confronted with messy situations, and it is our nature just to grind through it, get stuck in it, to make a mess of everything around it. When if we recognized that the Lord has called us to live at a higher level, I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the power of the pause. Just as the pause when he realized he was in the mud, he hit the button and got out, I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the power of the pause so that we would not do what we naturally would do. We would not slap back. We would not curse back. We would not find revenge. We would not say, "Not my job." But it gives us a moment of pause to shift from our natural inclinations into the Spirit empowerment that by grace we respond in faith and we bless those that curse us. That by grace through faith we pray for those that do us wrong. That by grace through faith we turn the other cheek. We do it by the grace of God and because of our faith. That by grace through faith we live our life in a higher dimension of faith, that we are not bound by the law of sin and death, that we have access to living at a higher level by knowing and obeying the words that Jesus said. And we're able to do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're able to do that because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have been given power to be a witness. I have noticed this. There are a lot of very, very fervent, sincere people who, though they have great faith in the Lord Jesus, have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their life is still full of chaos, strife, and confusion. And you would ask, why is it this person can be so devout, so fervent in their proclamations of faith, but yet their life does not have a witness and testimony of being at peace, to having wisdom, to making good decisions? And the question can come, what's wrong with them? But sometimes people charge, I think, an unfair thing in many cases. They call them hypocrites. But what I would suggest to you is there are too many people that fail to recognize that the pathway to peace as a believer is to live out the ethic, the wisdom that Jesus taught in his ministry to those that are going to be his disciple. I have a scripture that I have often applied, and no doubt the way I've applied it has been accurate. However, I believe there is another dimension of truth to be found in this scripture. Jesus is recorded in John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So if you believe in Jesus, specifically as the scripture states, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And there's a caveat. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus was telling people, if in the future, something's going to happen, and if you'll believe on me as the scripture says, you will have an overflowing life. And I would insert the word joy, of peace, of righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, if you believe on me as the scripture hath said, you will have out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's powerful, isn't it? I believe that is a promise that we have access to today, because we have been given grace that we live out in faith, and that faith is demonstrated by hearing and doing what Jesus said. Jesus said that those that hear and don't do are foolish, and they will be destroyed. Jesus said, "Those that hear my words and do them shall be wise, and their house shall be preserved." I believe that this is a glimpse into the understanding why people that are fervent believers in their mind, but they are not believers in their life, because they do not apply the wisdom of Jesus to their daily interactions in the world around them. And I think that the answer to understanding what is in the kingdom, Paul said it, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. What is righteousness? No doubt we have righteousness that is given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I believe that. Just as Abraham, it was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. But that did not remove the fact he had to be circumcised. It did not remove the fact that there were many things Jesus asked him to do in the covenant that if he had not done, would have broke him off from the covenant. So simply believing having faith does not negate our absolute need and responsibility to that our faith would obey what the Word of God, what God Himself has asked us to do. Yes. So if you're going to believe in Jesus as the Scripture says, you must make yourself a student of what the Scripture says, specifically the things that are written about Jesus from those who He chose, those 12 disciples. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that heaven has 12 foundations, and the names of the apostles are engraved in these foundations of the place we all want to go. You want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. Heaven is the foundations of heaven are found, the 12 names of the 12 apostles. And we know Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation, right? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But Jesus, the most significant thing Jesus did in His ministry is not the miracles, but is His choosing of His 12 apostles, 12 disciples who became the apostles. And the things that they taught, the things that they preached, the things that they did, those men provided a foundation upon which heaven itself is founded. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. But we know about Jesus because what Scripture tells us. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. It's not enough to simply believe in this historical figure named Jesus, but it is when our faith is more than a mental thing, but by grace we are saved through faith. And that faith is our response to the Word of God. Faith without obedience is dead. Not the works of the law. That's what the Bible almost always is talking about when it talks about we're not saved by works. We are saved through faith. And faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11 by what we do because we believe, not simply because we believe. Remember Jesus, when He's teaching about the wise and the fool, one knows because they've heard the word, but the other, the wise man who builds his house upon a rock, is one that hears the word and does the word. And I believe that highlights and it brings understanding, and it is how we will have an overflowing life, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This spake He of the Holy Ghost that was not yet given. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Holy Ghost. You see a summation of this same statement of Jesus in the writings of Paul. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is when we are living out the Word of God by faith. That's righteousness. Righteous living is to live in a way that we know God is pleased by. And when we know we are striving, we are walking, we are living, we are obeying the Word of God, that produces peace. Peace because, you know, we're not slapping back. Peace because we're not cursing. Peace because we're not in a debate on where the line is of what my responsibility is. Peace because we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. That's the first dimension. There's peace because, hey, I did the best I could. I did what the Lord asked me to do. But there also is the peace that we have because we live in faith. And that peace produces joy. So a lot of people don't have peace. They don't have joy because the way they are living contrary to faith. Faith. We are saved by grace through faith. We've been invited. And when we show up to our life armed with a knowledge of the Word of God, we will experience what Jesus said, He that believeth on me, Jesus, as the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus. Jesus. No doubt we're going to be talking about Jesus for the next 9 weeks, if I am able to finish the New Testament in 12. We have spent now 3 weeks talking about Jesus. And I believe that it is necessary, though I spent 2 weeks talking about what Jesus was and who Jesus was, we must never stray from understanding what Jesus taught, what Jesus and his expectation is for us, for those of us that call ourselves a believer. We must put our money, our faith, our life, our living where our mouth is. Our profession must match our profession of faith must match and find our commitment to honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord. Jesus said, how can you call me Lord if you do not do the things I say? How can you say you love me and you don't do the things I say? Ultimately, our life tells the tale, not our mouth. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God has given you the grace, and God has given you the faith. And we must recognize the purpose of grace and faith is not simply to think about how good Jesus is, but to live out and demonstrate for the world to see that the promise of the Holy Spirit has given us a power not just to be professors of faith, but to be a witness, to be a living example, to be Jesus in flesh for those in the world around us. Yes, you are his body. The only way people will see Jesus today is in you. And how we do that is to live out the truth of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? If they bless you, if they curse you, don't curse them back. That shows that you're like Jesus. When they do you wrong, you don't get back. You pray for them. When they ask you something that's not fair, you do more than they ask. Jesus said, if someone takes you to, your brother takes you to court and asks for your coat, you give them your cloak also. We are called to live a higher level, and no doubt it may be challenging, but he has not left us powerless. He has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we would be, as he proclaimed, is our mandate and our blessing, to be salt and light in this world. And we do that by having faith in Jesus Christ, as the scripture hath said. Come on, somebody. So if this blessed you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this at. We would love to hear from you. You can send us questions. If you have any observations, comments, testimonies, we would love to hear from you. Again, my name is Scott Phillips. I pastor Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church on the corner of Highway 18, Spring Ridge Road in Raymond, Mississippi. If you live in the Jackson metro area, we would love to have you come worship with us. Yes, we have wonderful, wonderful church family. We have wonderful music, wonderful teaching, wonderful fellowship. And if you don't have a church family, you need a church family. And if you're in the search, if you're praying, come visit us. We think that you'll find it to be a special place, and you could be a part of our family. So till next week, God bless you. Have a great week, and let us study the Word of God, specifically the words of Jesus and those in whom the apostles wrote, to how to live a life that glorifies God in all ways. Welcome to tonight's Bible study. My name is Scott Phillips, and I am the pastor of Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road. And on Monday nights, for now 15 weeks, I have been teaching a Bible study that is an overview of the Scripture. We start in the book of Genesis. We will end in the book of Revelations. If I were to estimate, it will end up being around 24 weeks. 24 lessons, studying Genesis through Revelation. And the past 2 weeks, we have been in the New Testament. After spending 12 weeks in the Old Testament, we will probably spend about 12 weeks in the New Testament. And the past 2 weeks have been about Jesus. Different parts, different degrees of Jesus. And today, this will be our third lesson, and we are going to talk about Jesus again, because Jesus is the reason, Jesus is the source, Jesus is the validation, Jesus is the New Testament. And so it requires more than one video. And so with that in mind, the first week we talked about Jesus is the incarnate God, God manifested in the flesh. And last week, the second video on Jesus, we just expanded the fact that Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. And today we're going to talk about the teaching of Jesus. He spent 3.5 years walking amongst his people. You like that word, amongst? He walked among the Jews. He chose 12 disciples specifically. He called all men to be a disciple. However, he specifically called at least 12 that we know of. We know that he called others, but they were not among the 12. The 12 were, Jesus chose to spend 3.5 years of his ministry with these hand-chosen men who would later become apostles. And we'll talk about them probably next week. So Jesus, the teaching ministry of Jesus and its importance to a New Testament believer cannot be overemphasized. Jesus taught how to live a life that honors God and is a witness of God to the world we live in. And what he taught were principles that had long been forgotten by the Jews, and many of them were a new commandment. They were an unfolding of the original commandments. And so I think it's important for us as believers to know the teachings of Jesus. You know, John said that it was impossible that everything Jesus said and done to be written down, because if it all would have been written down, that all of the earth could not hold the books that could have been written. So what that means is what is written, what we have preserved, what is in your Bible is of the highest of importance, what the Lord saw fit to have recorded. In fact, in the Synoptic Gospels, the three Gospels that in many cases tell the same story and add additional bits of information, all three of them together give a kind of a three-dimensional view of the specific teaching of Jesus. And of course, John is not a Synoptic. He's not in parallel with the three. In fact, adds another dimension in that he tells other stories that I believe God saw could not be left out, and used John to write them 4 and 5 decades after the other three. So when we look at Jesus, it would be a great error to not focus on the things that are written about what Jesus actually said. Now, we know Jesus did not write anything that has survived to this day. We do not find anywhere where Jesus wrote anything except when he bowed down and wrote in the sand concerning the woman that was caught in adultery. He wrote in the sand, and as he wrote in the sand, one by one, the religious leaders that threw this woman that had been caught in adultery at his feet, asking what he would say in response to this woman's infidelity, Jesus essentially wrote until all of her accusers had left. And when they had all left and dropped their stone, each one walking away for whatever their personal reason was, Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's the only thing we know Jesus wrote, and we don't know what he wrote. We just know that he did. So Jesus taught many things. I think oftentimes when I am talking to someone that is a new believer or a believer that is struggling with the effects of challenges in their life, I will direct their reading and their study and their life to read, reflect, and seek to live out the principles Jesus taught that are found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. No doubt these are also written in the book of Luke. Often it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it is important for each of us to study and analyze what Jesus has said and live our life based upon those words of eternal wisdom. Because Jesus said, in relation to those things he taught, he said, "The fool hears my word and does not obey, and their life is destroyed by the storm. But the wise are those that hear and obey my word, and their life is preserved and protected from the storm." The storm is coming, but Jesus, in the Word of God, has given us timeless principles, timeless truths, that if we will live those words out, be a hearer and a doer, it will bring about to us the blessing of the wise blessing, the blessing of wisdom by hearing and obeying the words of Jesus. For example, most of what Jesus dealt with in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, I encourage you, if you have not read it recently, this week, whether in your drive and commute, pull it up on your phone. I use the Bible app. It'll read it to you, Matthew 5 through 7. If you read and listen to Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus is confronting our natural responses, and he gives us a response that will reflect him in our lives. Jesus says things like, "If someone smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone curses you, bless them. If someone says bad things about you, pray for them. If someone does you wrong, bless them." Jesus goes through and he points out that what we would normally do as a natural response, our natural response, if someone curses us, we curse them back. If someone does us wrong, we try to get back. If someone curses us, if someone does us wrong, for instance, Jesus said, said, "If someone asks you to go a mile, go the second mile." Now, we live in a culture that when someone asks us to do something, our response would be, "Not my job." But Jesus says, "Do what they ask and go the second mile." All of these things are contradictory to our nature. They are in direct opposition to what we naturally would do as a response to things that are done to us and things that are asked of us. Jesus asked us to be better, to do better, to speak better, and not to allow the actions, attitudes, and activities of others to define us, because we are called to live on a higher level. I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament. The servant of Abraham is sent to find a wife for Isaac. And he prays and says, Lord, prosper my journey. Help me to find a wife for my master's son. Let it be that the lady that I ask, the woman that I ask for a cup of water, when I ask her for a cup of water, let her ask me to drink my water, bring me water, and then water my camels also. And so immediately, just as soon as he prays that prayer, a young woman comes out and he says, can't you give me something to drink? And she says, here's something to drink. Sit down while I water your camels. Now, a camel can drink 35 to 70 gallons, one thirsty camel. He had 10 camels. So that's 350 to 500 gallons that 10 camels can drink. So for her to water the camels, she had to, there was a well. So she had to lower a vessel, raise a vessel, take it and pour it in the water trough. Lower a vessel, raise a vessel, pour it in the water trough. Lower a vessel, raise a vessel, pour it in the water trough. And these are not immediately next to each other, right? So if it's a 2-gallon vessel, if it's 350 gallons, the low number, that would be 175 lowering and raising and pouring, lowering, raising, and pouring. And the thing is, she no doubt felt an impulse inside of her to do more than what she was asked to do. In fact, here's the miracle, is that she not just responded to her request, but she saw a need that was not pointed out. But she qualified herself to be married into covenant and to live the rest of her life with laughter. Isaac, that's what his name means, laughter. She qualified herself to be married into covenant and to be married to laughter and to have the children of the promise, because she was willing to do what she was asked, and she was willing to do 175 times more watering than she was asked to do. A lot of work. I've estimated that could have taken anywhere from an hour to 3 hours for her to water those 10 camels. And so Jesus in his teaching reflects that if you want to be blessed, you must be willing not just to do what you're asked to do, but you're able to identify what needs to be done and to do it. And if you do it, Jesus calls you wise and you will survive the storm. Jesus in his teachings, he goes through and he lays out for us an ethic, a life to live by a certain value. A value that should identify Christianity, but sadly, Christianity has been dumbed down to simply symbols and bumper stickers and a club that we're in. Wear a cross around your neck, wear a band around your wrist, maybe wear a t-shirt and go somewhere once or twice a week. But Christianity, which I think obviously if you're a believer, you will go to church. But going to church does not negate our desperate need and our high calling to live according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that means if someone slaps you, you don't slap them back. You turn the other cheek. That if someone curses you, you don't curse them back. You bless them. If someone does you wrong, you pray for them and don't look for a way to get back. If someone asks of you something that's not your job, you don't just do what they ask, but you go the second mile. And throughout the teaching and ministry of Jesus, Jesus told many hard sayings and asked his followers to do some very difficult things. But we understand that in the New Testament, it was fulfilled when we were given through Jesus Christ the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have access to a spiritual empowerment that was unavailable to David and to Abraham, to Moses, to Isaiah, to Ezekiel. The Old Testament saints were blessed people who had an incredible experience with God and demonstrated an amazing faith in God. But what we have available to us was not available to them. And they did amazing things through the grace of God without the gospel. However, God has asked us to do things, and they are difficult things, but we are able to do those things because of the grace of God. The grace of God is not simply a blank check of forgiveness so that you don't have to worry about what you say and do. Grace is an empowerment to do things that are beyond our natural capability and capacity. I cannot bless those that curse me, but by the grace of God, the empowerment of the Spirit of God. I cannot go the second mile except by the grace of God in the Holy Spirit empowerment. And so Jesus gives us a life ethic to live, a road of righteousness that we fulfill through faith by the grace of God. And so we live out the principles Jesus gives us in his ministry by the grace of God. And we do that by faith. Recently, I had a wonderful opportunity. I don't think I've shared this yet. It happened recently. But I had a wonderful opportunity to spend some time with a senior minister, pastor in my life. And we went fishing. And while we were in that coming and going, he drove up in some mud. And when he realized where he was, he stopped. He said, "Wait a minute, I know what I need to do." And in that pause, he hit the four-wheel drive button, and you could feel the truck shift. You felt it. You heard it. And then he applied the gas, and he just pulled right out. And when that happened, being a pastor and a preacher, I had a bookmark go in my mind, and I thought, I'm going to use that. And I thought about the application of that in our life as a believer is that there are times when we are confronted with messy situations, and it is our nature just to grind through it, get stuck in it, to make a mess of everything around it. When if we recognized that the Lord has called us to live at a higher level, I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the power of the pause. Just as the pause when he realized he was in the mud, he hit the button and got out, I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the power of the pause so that we would not do what we naturally would do. We would not slap back. We would not curse back. We would not find revenge. We would not say, "Not my job." But it gives us a moment of pause to shift from our natural inclinations into the Spirit empowerment that by grace we respond in faith and we bless those that curse us. That by grace through faith we pray for those that do us wrong. That by grace through faith we turn the other cheek. We do it by the grace of God and because of our faith. That by grace through faith we live our life in a higher dimension of faith, that we are not bound by the law of sin and death, that we have access to living at a higher level by knowing and obeying the words that Jesus said. And we're able to do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're able to do that because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have been given power to be a witness. I have noticed this. There are a lot of very, very fervent, sincere people who, though they have great faith in the Lord Jesus, have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their life is still full of chaos, strife, and confusion. And you would ask, why is it this person can be so devout, so fervent in their proclamations of faith, but yet their life does not have a witness and testimony of being at peace, to having wisdom, to making good decisions? And the question can come, what's wrong with them? But sometimes people charge, I think, an unfair thing in many cases. They call them hypocrites. But what I would suggest to you is there are too many people that fail to recognize that the pathway to peace as a believer is to live out the ethic, the wisdom that Jesus taught in his ministry to those that are going to be his disciple. I have a scripture that I have often applied, and no doubt the way I've applied it has been accurate. However, I believe there is another dimension of truth to be found in this scripture. Jesus is recorded in John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So if you believe in Jesus, specifically as the scripture states, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And there's a caveat. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus was telling people, if in the future, something's going to happen, and if you'll believe on me as the scripture says, you will have an overflowing life. And I would insert the word joy, of peace, of righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, if you believe on me as the scripture hath said, you will have out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's powerful, isn't it? I believe that is a promise that we have access to today, because we have been given grace that we live out in faith, and that faith is demonstrated by hearing and doing what Jesus said. Jesus said that those that hear and don't do are foolish, and they will be destroyed. Jesus said, "Those that hear my words and do them shall be wise, and their house shall be preserved." I believe that this is a glimpse into the understanding why people that are fervent believers in their mind, but they are not believers in their life, because they do not apply the wisdom of Jesus to their daily interactions in the world around them. And I think that the answer to understanding what is in the kingdom, Paul said it, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. What is righteousness? No doubt we have righteousness that is given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I believe that. Just as Abraham, it was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. But that did not remove the fact he had to be circumcised. It did not remove the fact that there were many things Jesus asked him to do in the covenant that if he had not done, would have broke him off from the covenant. So simply believing having faith does not negate our absolute need and responsibility to that our faith would obey what the Word of God, what God Himself has asked us to do. Yes. So if you're going to believe in Jesus as the Scripture says, you must make yourself a student of what the Scripture says, specifically the things that are written about Jesus from those who He chose, those 12 disciples. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that heaven has 12 foundations, and the names of the apostles are engraved in these foundations of the place we all want to go. You want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. Heaven is the foundations of heaven are found, the 12 names of the 12 apostles. And we know Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation, right? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But Jesus, the most significant thing Jesus did in His ministry is not the miracles, but is His choosing of His 12 apostles, 12 disciples who became the apostles. And the things that they taught, the things that they preached, the things that they did, those men provided a foundation upon which heaven itself is founded. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. But we know about Jesus because what Scripture tells us. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. It's not enough to simply believe in this historical figure named Jesus, but it is when our faith is more than a mental thing, but by grace we are saved through faith. And that faith is our response to the Word of God. Faith without obedience is dead. Not the works of the law. That's what the Bible almost always is talking about when it talks about we're not saved by works. We are saved through faith. And faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11 by what we do because we believe, not simply because we believe. Remember Jesus, when He's teaching about the wise and the fool, one knows because they've heard the word, but the other, the wise man who builds his house upon a rock, is one that hears the word and does the word. And I believe that highlights and it brings understanding, and it is how we will have an overflowing life, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This spake He of the Holy Ghost that was not yet given. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Holy Ghost. You see a summation of this same statement of Jesus in the writings of Paul. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is when we are living out the Word of God by faith. That's righteousness. Righteous living is to live in a way that we know God is pleased by. And when we know we are striving, we are walking, we are living, we are obeying the Word of God, that produces peace. Peace because, you know, we're not slapping back. Peace because we're not cursing. Peace because we're not in a debate on where the line is of what my responsibility is. Peace because we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. That's the first dimension. There's peace because, hey, I did the best I could. I did what the Lord asked me to do. But there also is the peace that we have because we live in faith. And that peace produces joy. So a lot of people don't have peace. They don't have joy because the way they are living contrary to faith. Faith. We are saved by grace through faith. We've been invited. And when we show up to our life armed with a knowledge of the Word of God, we will experience what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, Jesus, as the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus. Jesus. No doubt we're going to be talking about Jesus for the next 9 weeks, if I am able to finish the New Testament in 12. We have spent now 3 weeks talking about Jesus. And I believe that it is necessary, though I spent 2 weeks talking about what Jesus was and who Jesus was, we must never stray from understanding what Jesus taught, what Jesus and his expectation is for us, for those of us that call ourselves a believer. We must put our money, our faith, our life, our living where our mouth is. Our profession must match our profession of faith must match and find our commitment to honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord. Jesus said, how can you call me Lord if you do not do the things I say? How can you say you love me and you don't do the things I say? Ultimately, our life tells the tale, not our mouth. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God has given you the grace, and God has given you the faith. And we must recognize the purpose of grace and faith is not simply to think about how good Jesus is, but to live out and demonstrate for the world to see that the promise of the Holy Spirit has given us a power not just to be professors of faith, but to be a witness, to be a living example, to be Jesus in flesh for those in the world around us. Yes, you are his body. The only way people will see Jesus today is in you. And how we do that is to live out the truth of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? If they bless you, if they curse you, don't curse them back. That shows that you're like Jesus. When they do you wrong, you don't get back. You pray for them. When they ask you something that's not fair, you do more than they ask. Jesus said, if someone takes you to, your brother takes you to court and asks for your coat, you give them your cloak also. We are called to live a higher level, and no doubt it may be challenging, but he has not left us powerless. He has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we would be, as he proclaimed, is our mandate and our blessing, to be salt and light in this world. And we do that by having faith in Jesus Christ, as the scripture hath said. Come on, somebody. So if this blessed you, share it, comment, tell us where you're watching this at. We would love to hear from you. You can send us questions. If you have any observations, comments, testimonies, we would love to hear from you. Again, my name is Scott Phillips. I pastor Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church on the corner of Highway 18, Spring Ridge Road in Raymond, Mississippi. If you live in the Jackson metro area, we would love to have you come worship with us. Yes, we have wonderful, wonderful church family. We have wonderful music, wonderful teaching, wonderful fellowship. And if you don't have a church family, you need a church family. And if you're in the search, if you're praying, come visit us. We think that you'll find it to be a special place, and you could be a part of our family. So till next week, God bless you. Have a great week, and let us study the Word of God, specifically the words of Jesus and those in whom the apostles wrote, to how to live a life that glorifies God in all ways.